Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. I believe with all my heart that we're quickly approaching the day of the Lord, the time when our Messiah Yeshua is going to blow that trumpet and call us all home. I want to spend the next few weeks looking at the book of John, because I think the Gospel of John has a lot to say to help us be ready for the time when that trumpet does blow.
We will all be raised one day, either changed in the rapture or raised in the resurrection. But this body of corruption must put on incorruption, as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go look at that, because that's an important scripture. And we don't look at that one very often. We look at 1 Thessalonians a lot, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is very important too. Starting in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren. When Paul says brethren, to whom is he speaking? He's speaking to believers. And I'm now trying to stretch it down a little bit because I see people are still turning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Meaning we cannot live eternally in this body of flesh and blood that we have now. Why?
Spirit.
We will be spirit, that's true. What's wrong with this body?
It hurts and it's wearing out.
It hurts, it's wearing out, it's sinful, it's corruptible. Does God dwell in corruption?
No.
The answer is no. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. That's the Hebrew word so, which means a deeper meaning. Meaning you know the scriptures, but there's more to them than you may have seen. We shall not all sleep, that is to die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Should actually be the last trump. It's this verse that causes people to get confused and think that the rapture is post-tribulational. Because what are the judgments in the book of Revelation? There are seven seals, then seven trumpets, than seven vials. And people say, well, if it's the last trumpet, it must be the seventh trumpet. And therefore, that's at the end of the tribulation period. Problem is, it's a wrong kind of a trumpet. The trumpets that are blown in Revelation are silver trumpets. And the trump that's blown at the last trump is a shofar. It's a different kind of trumpet. And the shofar, there are three shofars, or shofarot to be proper in Hebrew. There are three shofarot in the Bible that have names. There's the first trump, which blew at Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. The last trump, which blows at Rosh Hashanah. And the shofar HaGadol, or the great trumpet, that blows at Yom Kippur. And you read about the last trump here, as well as in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the great trumpet, you read in Matthew chapter 24, that the sound of the great trumpet heralds the return of Messiah at the end of the tribulation period for the Battle of Armageddon. So the first trump blows at Shavuot, the second at Rosh Hashanah, and the third at Yom Kippur. So if I tell you we're going to have a turkey as we watch football in the fall, do I have to tell you what day it is? You know it's Thanksgiving, right? By the same token, if I tell you the first trump is going to blow, you should know we're talking about Shavuot or Pentecost. If I say the last trump is going to blow, that tells you we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, which in the Bible is not called Rosh Hashanah. What's it called? It's called Yom Teruah, which means the day of the awakening trumpet blast. It signals the rapture and the resurrection. And then the shofar HaGadol, the great trumpet, is the one that blows when Messiah returns from the Battle of Armageddon, and it's on. Goes on to say in verse 52, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So there's an old saying, I'm sorry folks, but we're not going to get out of life alive. And that's very true. We either will die before the Lord sounds the trumpet and be raised in the resurrection, or we will live until he blows the trumpet and our bodies will be changed. We'll be taken out of here with the body of incorruption. Back to the book of John, chapter 5. I'm sorry I digress so much.
I'm glad you do.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Verse 29, and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Does this mean we're saved by works? No. Why does one do good?
Because they believe.
Because they believe. That's exactly what John's trying to get across here. If we say we believe, that doesn't mean we do. But when our lives are changed, and we begin to walk according to the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God because we believe, we demonstrate our faith. That's what James meant in the book of James when he says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And faith without works is dead. Remember that whole discussion? Mm-hmm. What he's trying to say is, if you say you have faith, but you live like the world, then I don't believe you. How can I see what's in your heart? How can I know what you really believe?
By watching your actions.
Only by watching your actions. Messiah says it's kind of like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you see how the trees react to the wind. So when you see the reactions, you know that the wind is blowing. By the same token, how do we know that you've been born again? You'll know them by their fruit, right? You'll know them by the way their lives change and how they begin to follow the Lord God because they want to, because it's in their heart. They desire to serve God. And those who have done evil of the resurrection of condemnation. There's another place in the scripture where it describes the fact that there's two resurrections, one to life and one to death. Not just in the Gospels here, and not just in the book of Revelation, but it must be in the Old Testament somewhere. For there's nothing in the New Testament that's not in the Old Testament. The New Testament is kind of a commentary on the fulfillment of that which had been prophesied. So where in the prophets do we read about the two resurrections? Anybody know? I think you do. Daniel chapter 12. You may not have thought of it in those terms, but Daniel chapter 12 is about the tribulation period. In fact, Daniel 12 parallels Revelation chapter 12 in many aspects. So let me give you a chance to find Daniel chapter 12. And it begins, Daniel 12, 1, at that time. What does the phrase at that time refer to?
Tribulation.
The tribulation period, that's right. When you see in that day, that's the day of the Lord, that's a 1,000-year period. When you see at that time, it's referring to the tribulation period. If you want an antecedent, look back in chapter 11 at verse 29, which says, at the appointed time he shall return and go toward the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter. But that's interesting, at the appointed time. What is a moed? Moed is an appointment, an appointed time. So the events of the tribulation period will correspond to different feast and festival days, Leviticus chapter 23. Things happen at specific times, the time appointed. So chapter 12, verse 1, at that time Michael shall stand up. Who's Michael? Michael is an archangel. And the book of Daniel is very clear that each nation has an angel appointed over it to protect it. And Michael is the archangel who stands over Israel. And Michael, in Hebrew, is Michael, which means what? Micha means who is like, and El is God. So who is like God? Shall stand up. The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. See, it tells us right here that he is over the nation of Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 calls it the time of Jacob's trouble, but that's the same time of trouble as being referred to here. Even to that time. And at that time, at what time? During the tribulation, your people shall be delivered. That means the children of Israel are going to come to the Lord during the tribulation period. And they do. In fact, it's at the battle of Gog and Magog. Remember of Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39. When the Russian horde with its Muslim allies from Iran and other places come in and, never mind, come in and attack Israel, Israel does not have the might to withstand them. America does not come in to defend them. So what happens to the invading armies?
God destroys them.
God destroys them on the Golan Heights, the mountains in the north of Israel. The picture of that we find back in the book of Isaiah. When the kingdom of Assyria took the northern kingdom of Israel captive in 722, they have not returned from captivity. But about 20 years later, Assyria came down and attacked Judah, the southern kingdom, and every city of Judah fell, save Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was under siege when King Hezekiah turned to the Lord for help. And God answered him, and God himself destroyed 185,000 Assyrian troops that night. And in the morning, the king of Assyria went home. That was the Old Testament picture of the Battle of Gog and Magog and how God's going to personally intervene and slaughter the invading armies. And when that happens, Israel's eyes are opened and they see that the Bible is true, the prophecies are true, the Messiah, Yeshua, is the Lord, and they will come to him by faith, and that's when all Israel shall be saved, as the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans. But it's not all the Jewish people. Who is it? Look at chapter 12 of Daniel, verse 1. The last line says, everyone who is found written in the book. During the tribulation period, 2/3 of the Jewish people will perish. But the 1/3 that remain will be believers in Messiah Yeshua and God the Father. Verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. They're the two resurrections. Why does it say some shall awake? Why does it say some shall awake? The answer is because some have already awakened prior to this. We talked about the resurrection of Messiah and the 500 with him and those in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. So at the end of the tribulation period, there are the two resurrections. The remainder, those who died as believers during the tribulation period, complete the first resurrection, as we read in Revelation 20, and the rest to shame and everlasting contempt at the great white throne judgment. Notice verse 3 says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And how does that happen? It says, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. What does that mean to you? Those who turn many to righteousness. You're talking about the 144,000?
144,000.
No, but this is more than that. This includes you and me.
Oh, okay.
So those who lead people to faith in God and obedience to his commandments to walk in righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. So even before the New Testament was written, we should have known that Messiah was not going to abolish the Torah. But rather, there's an old saying that is very true. We're not saved by works. We work because we are saved. The change in heart to which God refers. Okay, I don't want to get preachy. Up to John chapter 5. Whew, time flies.
these two resurrections are not at the same time, then.
They are not.
They're 1,000 years apart.
They're 1,000 years apart.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yep. Why doesn't God say they're 1,000 years apart?
A mystery.
He didn't say glance to show yourself approved. He said study to show yourself approved. And God doesn't write anything all in one place. It's all scattered throughout the scriptures, and you've got to study and try and put all the pieces together. And that's what I hope we can do here in the Bible study, is trying to pick up all those little pieces and assemble the puzzle. Verse 30. Messiah Yeshua says, I can of myself do nothing. He means, if I were to turn away from God and try and do things my own way, in my own earthly, fleshly body, nothing would come of it. So how is he able to do all these miraculous things? It's because he's walking in the will of God, doing the commandments of God, doing the will of his Father. So I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Meaning, Yeshua and God don't have two different agendas. They're absolutely in agreement. And what he hears from God, he judges. And my judgment is righteous, meaning according to God's will, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. This may not come across to everybody who reads it, but this is a dagger right in the heart of the scribes and Pharisees. Why are they on a different page than God is? Because they're doing their own will. They're not seeking God's will. They're wanting the approval of mankind. They want earthly treasures. Their hearts are far apart from God. You're absolutely right. Verse 31. Messiah says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Is that right?
Things have to be confirmed by two witnesses.
That's right. The Bible says, let all things be confirmed by what? The testimony of two or more witnesses. So he's absolutely right. He says, if I were the only one testifying to the fact that I am the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, you'd be right in not believing me. But is he alone? He's now going to give us five witnesses. The scripture says, on the testimony of two or more, let all things be established. But he's going to give us five, and here they are. First, in verses 32 to 35, he's going to talk about the witness of John the Baptist. Then, in verse 36 for number two, he's going to talk about the works that he does, these miraculous signs. That's two. And in third, in verse 37, he's going to talk about the witness of the Father. Remember his baptism? What did the Father say?
This is my beloved Son.
This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, that's three. And then number four is the Tanakh, the scriptures, especially the Torah and the prophets. That's in verse 39. And then to complete the chapter, he says, in the fifth witness, and the one that is most condemning to the scribes and Pharisees is Moses. So let's read on. Verse 32, there is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. So Yeshua says, here's two, me and John the Baptist. And he tells us that in verse 33. You have sent to John, referring John the Baptist, meaning you sent scribes and Pharisees to go inquire of John. And what did John say? Did John say, I'm the Messiah? No, John said, I'm not the Messiah, but behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Said, you sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. What truth? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Yet I do not receive testimony from man. So he says, okay, discount John the Baptist's testimony. discount my testimony. Is there anything else? He goes on to say, but I say these things that you may be saved. What does he mean that you may be saved? That's exactly right, that we may believe in Messiah Yeshua and be saved. Is that all it takes to be saved, is to believe in Messiah Yeshua? The answer is yes, that's it. That's it. But we weren't there. How can we believe in him?
We've got the word.
We've got the word. We know what happened. Verse 35, he, referring to John the Baptist, was the burning and shining lamp. And you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. What's that mean? The scribes and Pharisees, they accepted John as a prophet, didn't they? They did. Of course, until he was beheaded. That kind of stopped his witness. But that's what he means. You thought he was a prophet until he testified of me. Verse 36, but I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Okay, they were miraculous. But how did they prove and testify that Yeshua is the Messiah? Were there ever any prophecies that said when Messiah comes, he's going to do the following? X, Y, and Z. Things like, what did he just do? He just healed the lame. Where is that? That's in Isaiah chapter 35. Yeah, you knew it was in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 35. They have a checklist that they can put up on the chalkboard and start checking things off. Isaiah chapter 35. Which is titled in my Bible, The Future Glory of Zion, or Zion. Start in verse 3 for context. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Which is, by the way, what those other things meant. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees means quit being afraid. And take courage. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. When does that happen? Your God will come with vengeance.
End of the tribulation.
It's going to come in Revelation chapter 19. Yeah. In Isaiah, we're going to find prophecies of both the first and the second coming. Your God will come with vengeance. In which person of the Godhead is he going to come in Revelation 19? It's in Messiah, Yeshua. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. That is, he is going to bring physical deliverance in Revelation chapter 19. But how will we know who the Messiah is? Here's the checklist. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Does Messiah ever open the eyes of the blind?
Yes.
Is it a person who's had something get in their eye and scratch the cornea? No, a man born blind. They had seen people's sight restored. They had healing balms. The balms of Gilead were very good at restoring sight and eyes if you've had your eye damaged and it needs to be healed. But healing a man born blind, that had never been done before. It says, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Did Messiah ever unstop the ears of the deaf? Does it specifically say he licked his fingers and stuck them in the man's ears and the man's ears were able to hear? And the lame shall leap like a deer. What happened to this man at the pool of Bethesda when he was healed?
He jumped up,
yeah. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Did he ever loosen the lips of the man who couldn't speak? Yeah. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Streams of living water, Mayim Chayim. Keep that in mind when we come to John chapter 7. Back up to John chapter 5 where we are tonight, though, however. So when he says, the works that I do testify to me, it's because they've had for thousands of years, this checklist, Messiah is going to do the following. Dum, 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 dum. He says, are you keeping score? The works that I do testify of me. The very works that I do bear witness to me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. That was Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. We don't need to read it because you can all quote it to me. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That was the Bat Kol, the voice from heaven. He says, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. So he says very clearly that if you heard the voice of God, and that doesn't just mean heard with the ears, but took it to heart and understood, then you would believe in Messiah. Verse 39 says, you search the scriptures. What scriptures did they have? Did they have the Gospels? The Pauline epistles? They only had what we call the Old Testament, that they call the Tanakh. But he says, you search the scriptures. And it's not a commandment to go search. He says, you do search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. What's he saying there? You think you do, but you don't. What have they come to believe? Jewish doctrine that day was, we're descended from Abraham. We have no sin. We need no Savior. Is that what the scripture teaches? Never. Not in the Old Testament, not in the New, nowhere. So he says, you think you have eternal life. And he's implying, but you're wrong. And these are they which testify of me. Where in the, what we call the Old Testament, do we find prophecies of Messiah Yeshua? Well, we just looked at Isaiah chapter 35, right? Mm-hmm. What about in Deuteronomy chapter 18? Didn't Moses say, God's going to send a prophet like me from your brethren? Him you shall hear. So this is Moses, and they claim, hey, we follow Moses, therefore we're good with God. He says, if you read Moses, if you understood Moses, he testified of me. What about the water from the rock? That was a picture of Messiah. What about the bronze serpent on the pole that was lifted up? That was a picture of Messiah. All the scripture. What is Psalm? Is it Psalm 40, verse 3? I don't know. Let's go look. Psalm 40, verse 3. Psalm 40, verse 7. Everybody correct your notes. Psalm 40, verse 7. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I like it better the way the King James puts it. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. The word there for the word scroll is Megillah, which means the whole thing. From Genesis to Revelation, this Bible teaches one and one thing alone. Mankind is sinful. We need a Savior. God sent a Savior in the form of our Messiah, Yeshua, who suffered and died for us, was buried, and after 3 days and three nights was raised again to eternal life, and that by faith in him, we too can have eternal life. That's the book from Genesis to Revelation, one story. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your Torah is within my heart. Those are the words of Messiah. Messiah's will was to do the will of his Father and kept the Torah in his heart.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week, folks. We'll come back to the book of John next week, Lord willing, if we're still here. But I do believe with all my heart that the Lord is coming soon. So I'd encourage you, if you've never been saved, if you've not given your life to God, I would encourage you to do it now. Salvation is by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you don't know how to do that, then please give me a call or visit my website at www.john1415.org. May God bless you.